And you might like to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. And we have spent a little bit of time looking at the person and ministry of God the Holy Spirit and his absolute essential, it's absolutely essential of that he be and do what he does. Otherwise, we'd know nothing. Actually, we'd have nothing. So, and in looking at that, and he is in 1 Corinthians, and we're just looking at following little places in the Bible where he's, the Spirit of God is telling you, he is essential. And remember the church in Corinth, that's southern Greece. And the church in Corinth has a problem. It has more than any other assembly back then. And God, and they have all of the benefits that Antioch does and Lystra does, but they are also caught up in all kinds of abuse of that information and that relationship. And therefore, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, is seeking to correct what they have. They have everything, but they aren't exercising it as they ought. And therefore, they have God's movement among them, judging them, exercising them, disciplining them. So, and we reminded ourselves in the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, what he does to make God, to be able to enjoy God in the fullest of ways. That's his ministry. So, in 1 Corinthians, we shared together that they had everything, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, and we read that together. The church, they're sanctified, they're called saints, it's the assembly of God, a church assembly of God in Corinth. Sliding down to verse 7, and so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in Spirit of God writing to the Corinthians and helping them, and so in the process they to know, they have all of the benefits, as we shared, that Antioch and Jerusalem have. But, and they just need to know that, so there's nothing lacking. So, here's a believer over here, and the believer over here is struggling, and for various reasons, struggling. And the believer over here isn't struggling. Both are believers. Both are saved in the same way by God's wonderful person. But one's struggling and one isn't. It isn't that the struggling person is missing something. The struggling believer and the believing believer are both saved. They have the same God for the same reasons. The struggling believer is not exercising their relationship to God. The believing believer is. So therefore, they have the benefit. It isn't the struggling believer like Corinth. Corinth doesn't need to have these problems, but they do. So, having said that, and then we went through some, and go over one other place in Corinthians, over 1 Corinthians, over in chapter 14, which we go to often, and remind yourself, in chapter 14, that God was there, and God was trying to help them. And so when you read verse 23, if therefore the whole church come together into one place, and they do, and they did, and all speak with tongues, languages, so that everyone would hear God's word in their language, because they're going to come. Remember, there's only one assembly in each area. There's not 10 of them. There's not 10 different churches for blue, green, yellow, and white. It isn't for that. One assembly, one testimony, one Lord. They're showing what? That all these believers that get saved belong to the one Lord, and they have the one life. They all belong together, and God puts them together. That's the testimony. Of course, now that isn't true anymore. It is true, but we don't do that. So therefore, here's the church in Corinth. And again, I'll read it, I didn't mean to get tight. If therefore the whole church come together into one place, and all the time we're telling them to come in, and with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned, unbelievers, will they not say they are mad if they hear all this going on? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, unbeliever, and one unlearned, doesn't understand, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and falling down on his face, he will worship God and report after going to church. He's going to report, giving a report to the people of where he's been and what he saw, that God is in you of a truth. That was the bottom line. What did the guy come in? He came in. He said, you know, God was in them. God was in them. That's the testimony. That's when things are going as they ought. God. It's about God. Not about us in any way. It's about God and his wonderful person. And you would remember, in, as we did, in Revelation chapter 1, etc., all the churches, the seven, illustrating the church that we're just talking about, the seven churches of gold, of God. But if they lose their first love, then they're going to go, and it won't be very long, there'll be Revelation chapter 3. And God's outside knocking on the door. You kicked me out of my own building, like they did. In the Old Testament, God had to leave his tabernacle, his temple, to have it go down. Now, so having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, so therefore, the Spirit of God is going to help in a very detailed way, help them understand. Now remember again the churches in the days of the New Testament, 50 AD, plus or minus, way back then, and they had the Old Testament, but not everyone would own an Old Testament scroll. They wouldn't own a copy. So these are Gentiles. They don't have a Bible. There is no Bible for them. There is nothing. There's God, the testimony of the apostles, and they got saved. They really got saved. And they got saved because the testimony they gave it, they gave God so loved the world, and they believed and got saved, wonderfully saved. And they then what did they do? God brought them together. And God kept them together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And you would remember, we shared together chapter 12 And in verse 3, wherefore I give you this to understand, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed and to be cursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. And so we have a negative and a positive. You certainly aren't going to look down upon Jesus and curse him and say, no, he isn't really who he is. Think of a study in 1 John, period. And so you aren't going to say that. On the other hand, that's a curse, negative. On the positive end, you're going to be converted, and believers that are saying that they are saying from their heart, Jesus is Lord. When you came to know the Lord as your Savior, John 10, 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that requires God's wonderful grace. Therefore, having said that relationship, we go to verse 4. And verse 4, 5, and 6. And God is going to help them now, and we'll just sort of scan through it so you get it. It's like we can remind ourselves a little bit of its content. And chapter 4, verse 4, in chapter 12, 5, 6. And now, there are diversity of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. Remember, here they all coming together. They're saved. God is confirming they're saved. God is filling their heart that they're saved. They know they're saved in a wonderful way. And they just are drawn together. And the Spirit of God is working among them and moving them. So, and God is helping them to understand. So here are the believers in Corinth. Here are the believers in Thessalonica, North Greece. Here are the believers in Jerusalem. And they're all there, all the same. Spirit of God working and uniting them. So the testimony out of Corinth and the testimony out of Thessalonica and Jerusalem, all the same. Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, and sliding along. So there are diversities of gifts. And in the process, all kinds of different ways God does things. He does everything that you have to go to keep the body, everything. All the parts of the body are there. From head, Christ, and the body, all the parts are there. There's no part. God provides everything for the body to function. All of the parts of the body are to have life. Life. Hang on to that. Now, and verse 5, there are differences. There are differences. A different part. There are differences of administration. Administration is the word for deacon, a service. There are diversities of gifts. There are differences of service, but the same Lord. And, verse 6, and there are diversities in operations, how things work. There are diversities of operations, how they're working, all kinds of working that has to be done, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. So we've got God the Holy Spirit, and we've got God the Son, and we've got God the Father. God in his fullness makes the whole thing go in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And there are diversities of operations, as we shared. And the word operation, the word to work. And just to show you that a little bit, maybe, hold your finger here if you like, and go over to to Ephesians in chapter 2 for a moment to remind yourself. Ephesians in chapter 2, and picking up if I can. And you will note in verse 2, Ephesians, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit, the satanic spirit, that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And there's your word that you have operations. There are operations. So, in doing it. So in the verse, chapter 2, verse 2, the devil is busy working. All the humans that are unsaved, the spirit, they are under the power, domain of the God of this world, and he governs them. He governs the system. Now you say, but we could do different. Okay. What do you mean we can do different? Well, you can do all kinds of things differently. But whether you're in China, or in Africa, or in Venezuela, whatever, you're all the same. You're all using your old nature, your old sin nature that belongs to everyone in Adam. And no matter what country and where you are, you're all living your own self-life. That's what you're doing. You're all the same. But we're different. Yes, you are in many ways. But the working, you're all under the God of this world because of your old nature. And because you don't believe, you have no freedom to overcome your old nature. So you're stuck. You're stuck. Hang on to that, working. Philippians chapter 2. As you know, we've done this many times, but just to remind yourself, Philippians in chapter 2, and picking up again, if you would, remember what the devil's doing in the light of your old nature. Here's Philippians chapter 2, and remember you have verse 12, the end of the verse. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, how could you possibly do that? Because, verse 13, it is God which, there's your little word, same verb, same everything. God which worketh in you. The devil's controlling the whole ball game because of our old nature. You get to know the Lord as your Savior, and you start exercising your relationship to Christ. And how can you possibly exercise your relationship to Christ? Because the Spirit of God is helping you do it, making you do it, giving you to be an overcomer. So the verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So you go from a slave to sin under the devil to a slave of God under the Spirit of God for life. You go from death to life, and you go from the satanic influence to God's wonderful power, his working. Back over to Corinthians and in chapter 12. Which worketh in you, and you have all of that, just to see all the words of in other words, what God does, as you'll see, God does all the working. God does. That's why you're saved by grace. I don't have it to dim. You don't have it. I don't have the life, the power. I don't have anything. I'm just flesh and blood. Here today, gone tomorrow. That's all. God has to provide the wonderful exercise and the experience to have the life. God has to do it. In fact, it's his life. Now, and pick that up. You know, this as we're just chit-chatting, this will help you in the morning because, anyway, hang on. Now, so therefore, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and there are diversities in verse 6. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. So God, there are all these different things God does. He does them. But there are some things in the process that are special. And in the early church, it had to be special, as we shared, because they didn't have anything. All they knew was Zeus and Jupiter and Diana. All they knew was their religious system. So they had to have it. And God did it. So here you have, verse 7 and on, you have 9 specific gifts given. That are gifts, 9 gifts. And so when you come to verse 7, about the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, everyone is to have the benefit of being in the body. Everyone's to have the benefit of the God's working. God's wonderful working is there in verse 7. And God does it to each part, each part. God made your body in a most wonderful way. And you've got your 12 systems, work your body. And your 12 systems are super duper. Just go to school, study, and we study medicine for a long time. And we go to school and study medicine. And then we're going to have to keep going to school because we're learning and we have to relearn and unlearn and relearn again about your body. The systems are beyond understanding. They go in a nanosecond. They're so moving. Everything's moving like this. Your body's like that. I have no idea. I'm just sitting like this. But my body is, I'd get tired if I had to follow it. You understand? That's awesome. So therefore, God had to go and help the believers back then, and especially then. And therefore you have the gifts in verse 7. For no one is given, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And so one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge of the same Spirit. Now, as you read through, the Greek language is so wonderful in the sense of being a language. It isn't like Hebrew or something. Hebrew has its own thing. Other language, English has its thing. And in the process of English and that, we have it. But boy, we couldn't touch the Greek because it has such ways to say things and write things and do things. We use it in our, you have all books like this, you know, on figures of speech in the language. I don't know whoever reads them, but anyway, you got them now. So, but here, in order to hit your point, apples, bananas, peaches, cream, apple, bananas, peaches, and ice cream. I just said it. I said that like that because I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm going through the ingredients to get somewhere. Now, but when here, every now and then you'll see it. And here in chapter 12 and verse 8, do you see the word another? And another? And another? And another? All the way down to verse 10. In other words, apples, stop. Peaches, stop. Bananas, stop. Ice cream, stop. Pay attention. We aren't trying to get to the end to hit the target. We're trying to hit the target one shot at a time. That's it. So you, Another. Hang on, now. So therefore, in chapter 12, picking up, please, if I can, verse 8, given the spirit of wisdom, and so God gives wonderful wisdom, and to another, the word of knowledge, by the same spirit. He's doing it. He's making all the different parts of the body back to the different parts of the body. You've got all kinds of little, you've got your little appendix on the hanging out there. You've got your little appendix. You got your tonsils. You got all kinds of little things. God designed it. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful. And sometimes say, I don't know what the purpose is, so we'll take it out. But you don't want to take it out if you don't have to. Don't lose it. Don't lose it unless you have to. So, now, so therefore, here's all the different parts of the body. And God has them all there. And as we said, and God gives in verse 8, as we said, the spirit of wisdom. God gives knowledge. God gives each thing. We each need all of these different pieces. And to another faith by the same spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the same spirit. God had to know that. Now remember in the early church, and Paul and them would go, well, we'll go back to that. All of them could do what they do and did what they did. And they were, God confirmed it. You can go back over to Hebrews, and if you can, Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 2, and you remember. And Hebrews chapter 2, sliding if I can, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also, bearing them witness, gave them credentials to authenticate, to have given them authority. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So God stamped these people. They did it. They just had what it is. One guy, all of a sudden, can take mathematics, never even saw him, and do anything. Another guy could take some other thing. English, there are people that can do this. There are people that just turn the page. I have to spend 25 hours on the first paragraph. They can turn the pages and have memorized the whole page. Most of you can't do that. I can't do that. They could do that. Just something. God, that's humans. That's human talent, human gifts from a human standpoint. But God would do it from a spiritual standpoint. And God confirmed. They had, are you a believer? Boy, you're a believer. You're saved. That's right. So in the process, in God's wonderful, wonderful working, in chapter 10, to another, the working of the gift of faith, by in the same spirit. In other words, they could believe. Ask the mountain to move, and it moved. Other times, it didn't. And as you know, here's the healing in verse 9, the gift of healing. And they had the gift of healing. They just a hanky, touch him, got healed. But another time, that's when God wanted to do it. When God wanted to show that, Spirit of God did it. Now, and so in doing it, so the Apostle Paul, could heal. Could he heal all the time? No. No, he couldn't. He couldn't heal his friends. He couldn't heal them. He said, just trust God. But sometime he did. Sometime he didn't. It was God's doing what he's doing. He doesn't need to confirm himself among us. But for the unsaved that don't believe there's a God, God stamped the man, stamped us, so that you'd see these aren't, like they said, in Athens and each thing, Thessalonica, we detect, Paul and you, that you were of God, and they bowed down to them. And the apostle said, no, don't bow down to us. We're just men. It's God. Peter, God doing it. God's doing it. He does what he does when he needs to do it. And so here's Paul. Paul didn't even, Paul prayed for his eyes, et cetera, et cetera. But it wasn't to be. It wasn't to be. And the other people over in 2 John and 3 John, what do you got? Look at 3rd, you can look at it if you like, over in 1 John. In the process. Way back over there. And in 3 John, picking up if I may. I think it's 3 John. 3 John and chapter 1. Verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even, this is to Gaius, even as thy soul prospereth. In other words, your heart is one healthy rascal, but boy, your body isn't. All I could wish is your body would share what your heart does. Say, watch your fixer, John. No. There's a time to fix things. There's a time not to fix them. And God knows the difference. It would be like people say, well, back in years ago, maybe even still today much, I don't think so, compared to yesterday, that I'm going around healing and all kinds of things and saying, now, if you really had the gift of healing, as they put it there, gift of healing, then I'm going to take you to Middlesex Hospital and we're going to have one demonstration. So we're just going to walk down the aisle and you point in each room and heal them. And boy, it'll be in the newspaper, you see. But you can't do that. No, you can't. God has to be doing it. The Spirit of God has to do it. He has to do this. You're correct. Now, hang on. And so in the process, looking to God in his wonderful, wonderful grace, picking up in verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, in other words, to discern. They had people that, believers in the church, that would have the ability to say, that's wrong. What you're hearing is wrong. What you're seeing is wrong. They discerned. Discernment is a wonderful thing to have. All of these gifts are modified and moved. And keep in mind, lest we forget all these things, in the process of these gifts were necessary. You could not have the awesome power of the New Testament church. Wow. Let's see. You are turning the world upside down. That's right. Now, you can't have that power without God doing what he's doing. But after that was had to be done then. Now, as time goes on, as time goes moving forward into history, you have the Word of God. And you have the Word of God for the person of God, to trust the person of God, for the working of God. We just read it, Philippians 2 and 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. You have God's wonderful working. We don't have what they did. And the reason you don't have it, I think, I know people, you have to go back years ago. Now back then when the Assembly of God and all those charismatic and all that was very, very active. And in the process of healing and signs and wonders and all kinds of things, it was there. But all of that was there, but it couldn't last. Often all that we do in the name of doing something great for God doesn't last very long. Because we're doing something great for God on our terms. We're doing it on our terms for us to show God. God said, if you don't mind, I'll show myself. You just stay out of it. That's why Hudson Taylor, Hudson, I'm going to do a great thing. And God said, Hudson Taylor, what's he say? You just lay down and lay down. And when he was laying down, he couldn't do anything. He got word that all that he wanted to happen, happened. God did it. I didn't need you. I didn't need you to do it, Hudson. I wanted to do it. And you're right in wanting me to do it. But let me do it. Let me do it. Otherwise, it won't happen. Because you're in it. And no flesh shall glory in my presence. Now, so I have in gifts, and gifts are gifts, awesome gifts, we'll get to it, in the process. So I'm not, I think, in my little life, and each of your lives, I've walked through history up to this point, and I haven't seen these special gifts very much, if at all. Sometime they're there, especially missionaries in very, like down in Haiti or wherever it was with the voodoo and everything down there, witchcraft. You'll see things that we won't see. I remember my dear Professor Ebling telling me he was a missionary. That's the best kind. They actually lived the life. So they're talking about reality. They aren't talking about academic that they've studied at Joe Doak Cemetery. Is that seminary? It isn't that. No. They lived it. And he said, I think I told you these things so many years. And they were in China. They were being attacked, which they do now even in Africa places. Wipe out a whole tribe. So, they're being attacked, and they all gathered together in their little house and prayed, because there's no way there. All these coming in to kill them, going to kill them. And the noise and everything was there. And then he said, we were all there praying. And that's all we could do, and heard them coming and chanting. And in the process, what happened? Well, I don't know. It became very quiet. So that we got up and looked out the window, and no one was there. No one was there. So we went out, and we found somebody that had been watching at a distance, and they said, as they attacked the house, they saw all the angels on the top of the roof looking at them, and they all ran away. They looked at the roof, there's nothing there. But it was a real thing. They really saw. And God did it. God can do whatever he wants when he wants to do it. And you love him for it. Wow. Now, so having said that a little bit, so the gifts, I don't see a lot of gifts. I don't think you, as you're reading chapter 12, I'm not saying there aren't gifts. So some say there are no more gifts given. I don't know that. I wouldn't want to tell you that because that's how entire. But it's very hard to find, to see those gifts. Some people have discernment, a special gift. It's needed very much. Because I can be in the pulpit for here and say a whole lot of things. If I'm not discerning, I need to be discerning when something is, when something isn't, when it's going right, wrong. I need to have discernment so that I don't say more stupid things than I do. I need discernment. I need that. Not everyone has that. I need to see between the lines. I need to see where you are and where you want. Where you are and where you want. I need to read that. That's why I can speak. And that's why God will do more. I've changed, and you know that, I've changed the message coming down the aisle. I've changed the message while I'm speaking. I don't know it. But I remember one time going out the door, I shared all these things, just but on the subject, going out the door. And the lady going out the door said, "Thank you for speaking on that." And right in the middle of the message, I brought a whole thing on suicide. I don't know why it fit in. It would fit. She said, "Thank you for saying that, because I was going to do that." No, I never knew it. I didn't know it. And you'd say, "Well, why did you ever insert that?" Because God apparently had a reason to say it. So God does what he does. And you have to understand that. But it's, most believers never grow enough. Most believers sit in the pew and they don't go much further mentally, spiritually. And if we want to survive, I'm going to do a whole thing on that for you, to help me, help us. You need to understand what you need to be doing to stay strong until he comes. Because a lot of things could change. You know, I could die tomorrow. I'm going to do today because I haven't died yet. But as soon as I die, I'm not doing it anymore. Okay. Now, you have to understand the strength of the assembly isn't here. The strength of assembly is in the whole thing. And if you want strong, and you want feeding, and you want growing, and you're sort of trusting what I try to say, how much did you understand about Sunday school? Well, I understood a little bit. You know, and that you didn't really get it. That isn't going to do you any good. That's not going to do you any good. I'm telling you. You got to grow. And you got to know. You got to feed. Feed your heart. What are we supposed to do? Peter said, "Well, what's going to happen to John?" And the Lord said, "You forget what I'm going to do with John. I may want John to stay on earth until I come. By the way, Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep three times. Feed my sheep." That's the job. That's the job. You need to, you go to the hospital, you get pain and headache and a lot of things. A thousand needs you have. The way to meet the need is to let God have his way in your heart if you're saved. And God will take care of it. But if you haven't learned how to do that and you just sit and out the door, in and out, yeah, that's what's going to happen. They'll never come tonight, never come prayer meeting. They in and out, here they're gone. And they're going to say, "You're not able to be strong enough to keep it." And you have to have that. If you don't have that, you're not going to make it. And you say, "Well, I'm going to make it." Listen, we've got a whole lot of history behind us. And all the people that said they're going to make it, where are the churches now that said they were going to make it? What happened to them? What happened to all them? And we're going to make it. No, only God can have you make it. And that's what has to happen. And that's where the power is. And so I'm trying to help you. We'll erase this tape, but you got the idea. And someone said, you certainly aren't a very social person. I like being social. I like eating out with you and stuff. I like chit-chatting. I like to know what you do. I do. But that isn't what you need. I could play Monopoly with you every day and say, wasn't he a wonderful pastor? He beat me 4 out of 10 times, but he was a wonderful pastor. I don't want to play Monopoly with you. I don't have enough money anymore. You got the idea. You need to know him. And if you don't know him, an exercise, if you don't exercise what you know, you're going to pick up a truth. Now, you say you may already know it, but I'm going to clarify something about how can it be in coming up, if the Lord tarries, how can it be, and the Lord tells you what? No man needs to teach you anything. That's what he said in 1 John. We're going to look at it. No man needs to teach you anything. That's a straight statement. There's no bending of it. Now, how does he teach you? No man needs to teach you. Translate that now out of there to reality. Make it practical, you see. So that's what we're going to do. How is that possible? Because the people read all this stuff. Pastors read it. Theologians read it. They write books. Make it work. How is it possible that no man needs to teach us anything? What funny? It must be a funny thing. Probably a mistake in the Bible. See? You need to know and exercise. Boy, we didn't very far in the gifts. You got the idea? Not the idea. We got 3 minutes. All right. Back to 1 Corinthians. You getting the idea? God has to help us. Oh, I'm going to do the other thing because I said this much. What to do? Believers need to stay healthy, wealthy, be wealthy and wise. And they need to exercise a unique, wonderful relationship to God in Christ, because of Christ. And they need to exercise it and grow and just grow and know. And in the process, you'll be able to hang in there to do everything you need to do. And then what do? Because we're trying to be healthy believers and abiding like the branch in the tree, abiding. We're trying to just enjoy being saved, having God as our companion, our friend, our Lord and Savior. And that's what to God, here we are. And what we're doing is down the corridor of time. And God will do what he does. When it comes to gifts, when it comes to all that has to be done, God is going to do what he does. And I just want God, and you just want God, to do what he does, the way he does it. And that's why I'm not here because I'm nothing anyway. But I want you to understand, I had all the different things, and God just took them out of my life and made it so I do this. That's what I do. So, isn't that just what I do? God, so what am I saying? I don't know about the gifts. God has to do them in his own way. But we certainly can do what we can do. And I just wanted you to know to read the Bible. And that's why I'm up here. Please read the Bible and believe it. How's that? That's why I'm here. Allow God to be God. What's wrong with that? So you want to know why I'm up here? I'm trying to tell you, and I try to tell you with some oomph, trying to tell you, please believe God and allow him to be God in your life. Please be saved. That's all. And all of you could do it, you see. And so we do the little bit we can. And God does the rest. I got to quit. No. So, back over. What can we do? In the process of a minute. Oh, in a minute. Okay. Chapter 12, in verse 12. There are tongues, etc. But all these, verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, individually, as he will, God worketh. So all the different believers are to be functional. And that's how you're going to be healthy and abide. And if you're all abiding, you'll benefit this side. And if you all abide, you'll benefit that side. And if I buy it, we'll benefit. What are we doing? Letting God be God. And do what he does, when he does, how he does. Thank you very much.